B-Pod Studios.
What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Cutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. I saw that Fast and the Furious. I watched the first one because that's the way I have to do things. Just like I tried to watch the Marvel Universe. And if you would have shown me 10 movies, I would have guessed 9 of them would have had all those sequels before Fast and the Furious. Dan, you are a huge Fast and the Furious fan and a truck driver. So it's a horror movie for you.
Oh, yeah. So the problem with me is that I turned 16 when the movie came out. So, tool bag, I was like, yeah, that's the coolest thing ever, racing around in cars. So, fast forward to now, none of that makes any sense. And where do you get tranquilizers to shoot at people? Like, they shoot them with tranquilizers, and this is like an isolated incident. Like, if half the trucks on the road were getting robbed, but there's a scene where the FBI's like, oh, yeah, the truckers union, they're starting to, you know, freak out. It's like, what are you talking about? This is an isolated incident. How many trucks are getting robbed by Honda Civics? You just run them over. You run them off the road. If some little punk tried to shoot through my windshield, he would be dead. Absolutely dead. 80,000 pounds rolling down the street, and you're going to try with a 2,000-pound Honda?
What are you rolling in, a Peterbilt? What do you got? Freightliner? What do you got?
Volvo?
Freightliner.
No, you got to keep an eye on the Smokies,
Hauling,
I'll tell
you. Hauling food. Shout out to the restaurants. Hauling food for the
there
restaurants.
There you go. There you go. Freightliner?
When I used to drive,
he's hauling a load over to Peabody in Joe Murray's house.
Yeah, I used
to be a truck full of pot roast.
I used to be a slop hog tanker. Drive a slop hog tanker. And, you know, those pigs would get stanker a little bit after you've been on the road too much. Or maybe you were in the risky business hauling fuel.
Maybe you're down Wolf Creek Pass, way up on the Great Divide, trucking on down the other side.
All right, Dan, thank you. You know what was on TV the other night was Convoy.
I was going to say Convoy. You know, he's talking about the trucker movie of his youth. Convoy was the, well, hey, rubber ducky.
Here's the thing
C.W.
about
McCall.
Here's the thing about trucker movies outside Convoy. Of Smokey and the Bandit. I'm going to go out on a limb and say they were a lot more about bare-knuckle boxing than they were anything about driving a truck.
Over the top?
Over the top, BJ and the Bear or whatever the hell the name of it was. How about when I turned on Convoy, I'd never seen it, but it was on cable, and there's Chris Kristofferson, and he's talking to a guy in the suit, and you know what I knew immediately? That guy in the suit is up to no good. That guy in the suit is the bad guy.
Here's the thing about Philo Beto. Is his movies, while they were about...
Okay, explain this. This is a French director?
Philo Beto was from Any Which Way But Loose, which is more motorcycles than it is trucks.
Well, Any Which Way But Loose I saw, and I contend that the orangutan does nothing in that film. Completely superfluous.
Doesn't bring a lot to it, but when you talk about the bare-knuckle boxing, the bare-knuckle boxers will oftentimes train by running... wearing jeans. They will go out for a jog in their dungarees, which I would find to be completely uncomfortable, but maybe it's training the mind to push through that discomfort.
Well, much like some children that you know will be long for athletics when your kid's playing Y basketball and they'll have a sweater and jeans on, and you'll say, well, your parents are not going to help you anyway. They're not helping you out here.
But once you get a pair of shorts on that kid, he's going to be able to jump through the gym.
It's like having ankle weights on.
That's right.
Truck-themed movies is a genre I think that's underappreciated. Steven Spielberg's big directorial debut with Duel.
There's obviously a big truck in that. Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah. If you want to go...
Trucks in that.
Well, that's more of an AI situation. But... If you want to go
early
by,
AI,
if you want it was, if you want to go by the fads that lasted the shortest amount of time, streaking would be number one. You got one song out of streaking.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the Mr. Show where they're going to do the movie about streaking?
No.
And like Bob Odenkirk can't give it up. Like he can't give up streaking. He just keeps wanting to do it. So streaking, I would say, was the number one thing that went away.
Okay.
And now trucks, and for some reason, Ma and Pa America wanted nothing more than to drive the long haul truck. That was what. But I would say because of CBs.
CBs were a thing, and what kids will never get was the magic of a CB radio and watching your father trying to tune into a CB channel and talk with truckers. And you, even if you didn't know how to be disappointed in your father, you come to realize later that was the first time you're ever disappointed in your father. And felt bad for him.
The big magnetic antenna that would clunk onto the roof of the car.
My dad trying to talk to truckers.
Yeah.
Breaker. Trying to figure out. Breaker 19. I just passed a Kojak with a Kodak sitting with his ass in the grass on the southbound 75 with a 110 marker come back.
Yeah.
Silence.
And then all you'd just say is like lot lizard, 10 o'clock, and then they'd be like, oh.
It was a different time. My father also drank Pabst Blue Ribbon while driving the entire way from Texas to New Jersey, New Jersey to Florida, whatever our
just throwing cans out the window?
Oh, yeah. Pass me up another one of those, he would say to me all the way in the back of the station wagon, rolling around back there with the dog and melted crayons.
Pass me another barley pop.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. My cousin was a truck driver, and on the window he had a big circle with a lizard in it and a line through it saying no lot lizards. So if you were to come and you were going to knock on his window over there at the Flying J, he would, or the Country Breakfast Buffet, either way, he would know right when you were going to knock. You would say, no lot lizards. Lot lizards are the prostitutes that apparently roam the
Stuckies.
Well, the Flying J's, basically.
See, you want me to go all the way to Las Vegas on my road trip with my 14-year-old. Apparently, I just need to find me a lot lizard to make him a man.
Shoney's.
At some point along
the way. Well, if you're just joining us, this was on Facebook. Marshall Hook, who is in today, has planned a outrageous adventure for him and his 14-year-old son. They are going to be driving from Atlanta all the way to Salt Lake City, Utah. And they are going to be stopping in places like Oklahoma City and Albuquerque, New Mexico along the way. And to that, I would say, you're going to have to be staying in motels with heavy, heavy, heavy prostitutes. Yeah. And I mean there's going to be a lot of them, and they're going to be very heavy.
The Motel 6 tweeted at me yesterday, so I've now got a heavyweight motel chain supporting my...
Really? Trip.
They're not giving me free rooms or anything. They're just telling me that they're happy to have me on board.
Well, when I was a kid, my mom was afraid to fly, so we would have to stay at the Knights Inn because we got free rooms because they were one of my dad's clients. So imagine driving all over the place so you could just rest your weary head at the Knights Inn.
Yeah.
Were the medieval in medieval times.
I'm not a guy that is bothered by a seedy motel. Like, I feel that's a life experience.
Yeah. You don't mind I don't need other people's semen and things of that nature. No, why would you? Some big fat dude that's they didn't clean the sheets after. Why not?
I mean, as a kid, like the first time I made that drive, I stopped in Tucumcari, New Mexico. I remember it. And I stayed at a motel. I mean, it wasn't even a chain. It was like the Tucumcari Motel. But it's an adventure when you're 23.
Right, when they don't clean the comforter. And
you don't think about those things. You're not going to think about that now?
I would think about it constantly when I was 23.
I mean, here's
the balance.
You would
have thought about it when you were 23?
Oh, my God. God, yeah.
Oh, that's
here's the balance.
Bother me.
I can stay in a Motel 6 on questionable sheets for $60, or for twice as much, I can stay in a Holiday Inn that's just better at hiding the questionable sheets.
Well, I didn't say Motel 6 would have questionable sheets. They have to live by some standard, but if you might not be able to find one.
I've already done a modicum of research, and the Motel 6 footprint is well established across this fine country.
I think we can all agree on is no matter the hotel, do not sit down on the bed without taking the bedspread down first.
And by the way,
they don't wash them.
Much like Joe Murray, I am 100% on board if Motel 6 wants to sponsor my trip. You can find me on Twitter. DMs are open. I'm more than happy to discuss an arrangement of some sort.
Yeah, that's your brand. I mean, it's that and Oshkosh B'gosh jeans.
Yeah, and if a rental car company wants to hook me up, I can do that too, because that's going to be the cost.
Well, you're quite the influencer. I mean,
I am.
You've got the brands.
I don't have the Instagram influencer footprint that you do, of course.
No, but if I had a bigger imprint, I would really be going after the Motel 6s of the world.
Yes. And, well, listen, I like to shoot exactly at my weight level.
Well, why would you? Well,
it's not like the Four Seasons is going to be eager to align with me, but how many people are really fighting for the Motel 6 cred?
You could get Keds to maybe be a sponsor of it.
Can't you, like, fashion this as a...
RC Cola.
As, like, a diplomatic journey and find, you know, Topsfield's sister cities along the way?
Yeah.
And, you know, make this more of a, like an ambassador type of trip? The town sponsor it in some way, or perhaps be put up at a bed and breakfast at Topsfield's sister cities across America.
Now, it says here the Four Corners Monument is closed.
It is.
Now they close. Is that where you can stand in all four states?
Yes.
Which, by the way, is in the wrong place.
Mm.
It's like a geographic survey is like, actually, we put this thing about 200 yards the wrong way.
Oh, well, whatever. Yes, the monument is actually in the Navajo Nation, and they have not reopened it due to COVID yet. But it is more or less on the route, and there's like a big sign you can stand in front of. So we'll get as close as we can if it's still not open in 3 weeks or so.
I mean, memories that could last a lifetime. I wonder if young Nicholas, because I'm looking at the map, Denver, not far from the Four Corners Monument, I wonder if on his wild bachelor party, if they'll take a little detour down to the Four Corners Monument and knock that off the bucket list.
Yeah, I mean,
you want to go at a good free spot?
Yeah, what do you got?
Meteor Crater.
Oh, that from Starman?
Yes, that's the exact one.
Yeah.
You're gonna head south for about an hour off of I-40 right when you get into Arizona, if memory serves, and hit that meteor crater.
Yeah.
Big hole in the ground.
Yeah, I can tell you that a lot of the Albuquerque and
and
Las Vegas, New Mexico is all because movies were filmed there. The what's the movie that was all over Las Vegas, New Mexico? You know the one.
That's Tron.
Yeah. No Country for
Bridges
Old Men.
Madison
No
County.
Country for Old Men.
Oh.
Was all around,
Annie Hall.
All around that area. And young Henry Hook is a big fan of that film.
All right.
He's looking forward to checking out some of those sites.
Well, listen,
and a Motel 6 nearby.
Hopefully he's not a serial killer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's the deal. There is a certain NFL quarterback whose mom is ignoring his advice. We will have that for you in just a moment.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the home of the Bruins and the Celtics.
It is nothing but a thrill a minute.
And these guys.
Oh, my Lord, what could come next?
Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We are Toucher and Rich, and imagine if you're one of the suckers that took a quarterback before Mac Jones in the NFL draft this last year while the Patriots sat there and played chess while everyone else was playing checkers and got their guy in Mac Jones. Well, one of these sucker teams, as they often are, were the New York Jets, and the New York Jets were sitting there at number two, and they took Zach Wilson. Now, Zach Wilson is a quarterback out of BYU, and at a time I thought his mother was fairly attractive, but then it bothered me because she looks like Zach Wilson if Zach Wilson had a blonde wig on. So now I got
that's a problem.
Now I got to get in touch with my feelings for Zach Wilson physically.
Sure.
But apparently Zach Wilson asked her to get off Instagram, and this is what happened. This is her on Instagram explaining how she ain't going to do it.
All right. People out there that think I embarrass my son. Has he asked me to take down my social media? He has before. And he says, Mom, if it's about money, I'll give you money. He says, Zach, I need your money. He says, Mom, you don't embarrass me, but I can't stand these people treating my mom like crap. And I said, Zach, you know what? If you saw the messages that I receive every single day from women that started exercising again, women that are learning to cook for the first time ever, women that are changing their relationships with their husbands, women that tell me that the only reason they're getting out of bed is because of my Instagram. Oh.
So if you guys have an Instagram and this is the audience, just know the power that you hold in your hand every time that you put something up on Instagram. There are people that are just following you, Ma and Pa America, and they're like, am I going to get out of bed today, or am I going to just put a giant hole right there in my temple with a nice old 45? And then they look at your Instagram and they go, put the gun away for another day. It's time to get out of bed. Zach Wilson's mom is on the case.
So
she, if she's not cooking, she's telling me not to kill myself. That's the way, that's the power that she has. And so this speaks well. If she was raising Zach Wilson and she has this kind of, what is it? Would you call it like a Christ complex that she seems to think that she's healing people?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that's the proper term for it.
Here's what I'll tell you. I didn't know that Zach Wilson's mother existed, except for the fact that clearly he has a mother of some sort. I knew nothing about her before whatever it was, 90 seconds ago.
Mm.
I am already thoroughly convinced that I don't like her.
Okay, so, do you know how many...
Zach Wilson.
How, just guess, unless you've already looked.
I haven't.
How many followers she has on Instagram?
Okay, I am going to guess.
I need to know this first. How many do you have? Fred,
I have, and I'm going to look. And you do this. I have 21.1 thousand followers.
I'm going to guess she has 102K.
I am going to guess that she has 2,500 followers.
9,769.
All right.
Like, you're kicking up a fuss?
But they're all just wrecks. Everyone that follows her, do you know the amount of saving that you're doing for people?
The only thing that kept them from taking a handful of pills is because something I said that day resonated with them.
Uh-huh.
Really?
So she has somehow, out of the entire population of the world, found 9,000 some odd people that are
fat, suicidal women that she's keeping
that
from...
can't cook, ironically.
Yes.
So, yeah, this is...
Based on her...
That
her,
is a her, conundrum.
That
her
is.
Her successes of teaching them to cook, getting them to exercise, and stopping them from killing themselves. I mean, that's a very... 9,000 is not a huge number.
Just the amount of activity on here, like her stories, like the canned salsa story with like 20-some-odd entries. I don't do a lot on Instagram, so I don't even know how to do this stuff, but... She's got canned salsa. She's got this save story with wraps that has, it's got to have 50 different entries on the different wraps that she's made.
Here's what never works out. And I had a friend in that I, or a guy I know that was an intern of mine in Atlanta, and he saw it happen too. Like these women, and I'm sure it goes the other way, but in my experience, it's been women, and not in my own life, that marry or that are related or somehow tangentially related to someone who is famous, like, just don't be famous. Just, you're not. Like, I knew guys in radio that they would get married, and I know immediately that this wasn't going to last because the woman that they married, you know, now wanted to do a column in some magazine about being married to so-and-so, and then... you know, the other one wants to do a shopping segment on the guy's radio station once a week. It's just, this no, is just the new, do your own thing.
No, this is the new thing. Whether you are the mother or the wife or girlfriend of a quarterback, your job is then apparently Instagram influencer. And I don't think of it as being a job. I know that many people do treat it that way and they treat it seriously, but my gut tells me that more often it's someone is like, I don't have to have a job. I can be an influencer and get paid and get free stuff to
also,
do that.
Save things, but save people's lives. But the thing is, though,
let's not forget,
if you are if you're marrying a quarterback or the mother of an NFL quarterback, you know, they're going to make a lot more money than you, no matter what you do on Instagram. So why don't you, out of all the things in the world that you could do, go, if you like cooking so much, go be a cook. If you like exercising so much, go be a spin instructor.
What if you like cosmetics? What could you do?
Well, you could go sell for Mary Kay.
Yep. Get yourself a pink Cadillac.
Exactly. You could do that. And just these, and it's, and look at what the influencers are doing. Why do you think Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to play in Green Bay? A lot of it is because it's Green Bay, and his fiance doesn't want to live in Green Bay 6 months out of the year. I guarantee you that's the case. Why do you think Russell Wilson was part of the reason Russell Wilson wanted to get out of Seattle so badly? Is because he married some girl that was in That's My Boy, and that girl doesn't want to be up in Seattle anymore. She wants to be in L.A. or they want to be
New York,
cooler city.
Yeah.
Stop it. Just do your own thing. Like, why? Like, why do these, a lot of times women feel the need, go do it, go make your life something of its own, go stake your own claim. No, don't be this delusional maniac that needs to have an Instagram. The minute your son tells you to get off Instagram, it should be the easiest decision you ever made in your entire life. It should be the easiest thing ever not to do. Fine.
The phrase,
I won't do it anymore.
I'm not embarrassed by you is actually, Mom, you're thoroughly embarrassing me. I don't want to say that.
Or people will, like, you know, put stuff on Twitter about their famous relative or their husband or something, and then they'll get negative responses and they'll go, oh, well, like, you know, can you believe this happened? Well, yes, I can believe it happened on Twitter. Stop being on Twitter. Okay. Or if you're on Twitter, do it privately for your dumb friends.
Easy for you to say, but then who would post the story like his mom did about sexy food?
Oh.
About the turkey chili with green sauce, avocado, fresh corn off the cob, and a touch of sour cream.
Now, yes, that is sexy. I think turkey chili. That's definitely.
Well, if you ever sat in a bowl of it, I'll tell you, it will take you to waves of eroticism that you haven't seen.
Egg bake, that's sexy.
Bag of turkey chili coming in Saturday morning.
Carb-free English muffin cut in half and toast.
Wait a second.
Why is this on Instagram?
So her cooking was to toast the English muffin that had already been created?
Well, she's got a whole story about a sandwich maker, too, a Hamilton Beach sandwich maker. Like, oh.
Well, I'm pretty sure
Paul Prudhomme uses one of those at his restaurant in New Orleans.
the same kind of companies I am. She got Hamilton Beach. I'm shooting for Motel 6.
I see that on Hell's Kitchen all the time. They're oftentimes using a sandwich maker before they bring up their meals for the judges.
Can you imagine your kid asks you to get off Instagram? Like, you're just, all you've done is you've raised the family. And the kid goes, would you mind getting off Instagram? Or at least make it private. No, I can't do that.
Saving lives.
I mean, like, people are literally going to die if I stop. The first thing you do is go, fine. Yes, I will do that. That is easy for me to do. I will reap your money. I will reap the rewards of your success. And in exchange for that, I have no problem removing myself from Instagram.
You know, just delete the app off your phone. You're done. Can't do it.
I mean, what do you need that for? Just stop it.
I don't know.
You pushed out 11,000 kids. I mean, they were all at the draft. I mean, listen. Go exercise. You like exercising so much. Maybe she's the best cook in the history of the world. Then go be a cook.
Well, making English muffin sandwiches hardly is a good
sign. I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
If she's so great. I'll tell you this. If she is such a gift of making people not kill themselves, go get a psychiatry degree and work with the mentally ill.
I'm being told I'm looking at the wrong profile. Apparently, there's one with 30,000 followers on it instead. Well, it's nowhere near the number I thought she would have.
No. She's not famous like that. She's not good looking enough, which is the thing with Instagram. I mean, if you're going to do it, speaking of Instagram, you know who my daughter talked to over the weekend?
I do not.
Does the name Jen Hartley ring a bell?
No.
Does the show Jersey Shore ring a bell?
Yes.
Does the name Ronnie from the Jersey Shore ring a bell?
No.
His baby mama?
I can't share this with you. I don't know.
This is me and my daughter. I put this on Instagram. Harley.
Who'd you talk to today?
Jen Hartley. Ronnie's ex-girlfriend.
Ronnie from where?
Jersey Shore.
And she was?
Nice.
She was nice.
No. Oh, wow.
Ronnie. Was that like pay for that conversation type of thing?
No. My wife was in Miami, and her sister braids hair for a living. And Jen Hartley, the mother of Ronnie from the Jersey Shore.
Kind of with you.
Got her hair braided and was nice enough to talk to my daughter.
Wow.
So, I mean, we all influence in our own ways. Whew. But my point was this, Jen Hartley's like not bad looking, so she's probably got like, you know, 100,000 Instagram followers. If you're going to be on there and stand a chance, you got to be hot. That's just the way that it goes. I don't make them rules. That's just the way it seems to be. All right, here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them.
Listen to no one.
Don't listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
Rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
It's 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And a woman who apparently one time was very flirtatious with Rich at the Creatus Bar.
Oh.
Goes by the name of Rachel Nichols. And Rachel Nichols was caught, if I can tell you this, she was... let me find out what the first thing she did was. I don't know. She had to apologize for something. Here she is apologizing for said thing. Here we go.
Hey, instead of posting the NBA Finals, like, why don't you do Doris's silent reporter job for the NBA Finals?
Oh, no, this is not the apology. This is what she got in trouble for.
Okay. All right, so I'm trying to hear what she's saying. So something about the NBA Finals.
All right, so she is saying, she's saying her coworker Maria Taylor got a 2020 NBA Finals gig because the network was feeling pressure about its crappy longtime record on diversity. And so this is like with a camera. She's not on camera, right? But this is like Nick's running the show. This is her talking. She thinks she's speaking freely. But there's someone behind the scenes that has been either, in Nick's case, completely not firing on all cylinders or doing this on purpose.
The Nick Jamelli at ESPN.
Yes,
the Nick left Jamelli. The mic up.
Oh, yeah, left the mic up. All right, here we go.
Hey, instead of posting the NBA Finals, like, why don't you do Doris's silent reporter job for the NBA Finals?
Because guess what that would clear the way for?
For
Maria to do the hosting for.
Yeah.
So, I have declined. I don't know what their next move is, but they are feeling pressure because of all of that. And I'm trying to figure out, like, how to just, you know, my thing is, like, I wish Maria Taylor all the success in the world. She covers football. She covers basketball. If you need her to give her more things to do because you're feeling pressure about your, like, crappy long-time record on diversity, which, by the way, I myself, like, know personally from the female side of it, like, go for it. Just, you know, find it somewhere else. Like, you're not going to find it with me.
All right, so I guess she was referring to her, like, taking a job away from Rachel Nichols.
Okay.
And so I've heard that, and I know Rachel Nichols apologized, but I really think she should be fired and never work again. I mean, that was pretty powerful stuff, what she just said off camera. I mean, to compliment the woman and then to say that the ESPN had a crappy record of working with women and herself has been a part of it. She herself has been a part of that. I mean, I don't know how she can, how the network can possibly still put her on television after a candid conversation like that one. If you told me she said that on the air, I would have been like, okay. Like, you're like, all right. Like, so she shared her opinion on something? So she's not in charge. So she shared her opinion. So what exactly is she supposed to be sorry for? Now, I did watch the apology, and she apologizes, and then they make Kendrick Perkins sit there and start talking about, like, what a wonderful woman Rachel Nichols is and how equally wonderful Maria Taylor is. Now, I don't know who Maria Taylor is, but apparently she did something during the 2020 NBA Finals. But, I mean, shame on ESPN. I mean, if there's only some way we could get together collectively as the public and really put the screws to ESPN to get Rachel Nichols off the air. You hear that. What did she say that was so bad? Am I missing something? It's very possible I'm missing something. Are you seeing anything transcript?
I think the suggestion is that the only reason Maria Taylor was getting this job was because she is a woman of color.
But she
not
said,
because of her skills.
She said that Maria Taylor, though, was very, very good at what she did and has covered all the sports. And maybe she was getting an opportunity because ESPN in the past had denied opportunities to women of color.
Yes.
But if you were a woman of color and everything was equal, let's say there was five people in the room and everyone was very talented. And you would say just about the same in terms of talent. And ESPN has said, you know what, for so long we have denied women of color their place on the air. Let's go with Maria Taylor because, you know what, because we haven't in the past. In the past, we've been bad about this. So let's go with Maria Taylor. Now, is that something that never would have happened?
No, I think that
if everything was equal, everything was equal and you said
you got to make a decision for some reason.
No, okay, but isn't that sort of the idea?
Yeah.
Is that the carousel of white men has been going on forever. Okay. Isn't the idea now that if you don't start adding some diversity to the carousel, it's unfair to everyone? So isn't that the idea?
Well, I guess, yes. I think
so. She at no point says that Maria Taylor is not suited for the job or is not able to handle the job.
But that's the assumed unspoken part of saying she's only getting the job because of her color. She's not getting the job because of her skills. She's not getting the job.
But doesn't Rachel Nichols say though she was offered the job? That since Rachel Nichols does the jump and basketball is her specialty, she doesn't want this woman getting her job. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I'm in context, she doesn't come out and say, I don't think anything negative about Maria Taylor. And if all things were equal, And Maria Taylor was a candidate. And for and if ESPN has a terrible track record of hiring women of color, then why shouldn't they hire Maria Taylor? That's the idea, correct? And that's a good thing, correct? Right? It's the same with black coaches in the NBA. Is that for years, the black coaches have been denied opportunities at the NBA level, and the same retread white coaches have been being hired, and it was and it's very, very difficult. So if you have candidates that are of equal strengths and you believe that maybe hiring a minority coach is they'll be able to, the coach would be better to dealing with the players, and since you have African-American players, maybe being a black coach would be the best thing. Isn't that good?
It's just, I think for Rachel Nichols, it comes off as disingenuous to say, I think she's great. I wish her all the success. And if you want to find more things for her to do, go for it. Just don't take any of my work away from
me. Yeah, she's saying I want to keep my job,
which is what any of us would say, anyone in any position, yeah. Black, white, whatever. But if you really do wish her all the success and you want her to have the opportunities, well, that opportunity is going to have to come at someone's expense.
And this is where, by the way,
Rachel, she doesn't want it to be hers.
Rachel Nichols
she wants to keep working and making money.
Getting plenty of criticism, and it's probably very well deserved. I think ESPN is skating because they're basically created a thing where, well, we can only hire one woman. we're not gonna replace any of these white guys. So our one spot for a woman, we'll have to choose between the woman of color and Rachel Nichols, and we're going to go with the woman of color to make our diversity record look better. And Rachel Nichols didn't like that.
That is a good point. That is probably what her fear was, is that because they hire so few women, that maybe that she would be usurped because they would think, yeah, two birds with one stone.
Maybe we need to get rid of one of the 400 white men they put on TV and then have two women, oh my gosh, on the ESPN airwaves.
Right. So if you were up for a job as a white man and there was a black woman that was every bit as good as it, you were almost your same resume, you both killed it at your audition, wouldn't you, and they have been forever hiring white men, and they want to change that aspect, and they want to get more diverse, I mean, then they would go with the minority, right? That's the idea. Isn't that what everyone wants? Isn't that the whole point of it? So what do you, she doesn't want the woman taking her job. She's not saying this to the boss. She's saying this to a cameraman. I don't get what she said that was inappropriate. I really don't.
She's not even saying it to a cameraman. She's on the phone with LeBron James's agent or somebody.
Oh, like okay. Well, there you go. She's not even talking to a cameraman.
She's having a phone conversation in the same vicinity as the computer whose microphone wasn't turned off.
So the guy who kept the microphone on and released this video should be fired. That's the first thing. And I can tell you, that's illegal. You're not allowed to tape people without their knowledge. Especially when they're on the phone. So there you go.
So ultimately, Rachel Nichols is wrong, but ESPN is wronger in this entire thing, I think.
So Rachel Nichols is wrong for expressing the opinion that Maria Taylor might have gotten a job because ESPN is trying to get more diverse with their hirings, but she just wants to make sure she doesn't get her job. How is that wrong? And so she's talking to one of LeBron's agents who's in the business, and she says, listen, I want to keep my job. I'm stupid. What do I know? I think Maria Taylor gets a good job. She gets the job. Maybe that opens the door for the next black woman to get a job, one of these jobs. So that's great. And as far as Rachel Nichols is concerned, she keeps her job, which is fantastic.
And Rachel Nichols does make a point in saying, it's in my contract. This is what my job is. So if you're going to take away any of my work and give it to someone else, you're in breach of my contract with you.
I don't know. I just was expecting her to say something like blasphemous or something racist or something like that, and nothing came out of it. No. That, I mean, if you're improving, if the goal is to improve the diversity of your workforce and you are improving the diversity of your workforce. I don't understand what's wrong with that. It's like saying, well, the Celtics wanted a black coach. Why they want a black coach? Well, they feel that black coaches can relate better with young black players. And there is a perception around the league and in the nation based on player comments and things that have happened that the Celtics are a racist organization. So there's got to be a lot of very good overlooked black candidates to be the head coach. So hire a black candidate, which is what they did. A black candidate that everyone seems to think is great. What's wrong with that? So they should just hire some Rick Carlisle or something? No, they thought, listen, there's a perception that we're racist. We don't feel that we're racist. Listen, the players might feel like they relate better. We'll talk to the players. They feel like they relate better to a young black coach. We'll hire a black coach. Thereby, there's another black coach in the NBA. And now when teams are looking to hire, there's another guy in the carousel of coaches.
I don't think there's anything fundamentally wrong with that. The wrongness would be if Rick Carlisle got out there and said, well, I was clearly the better coach, but they only hired
this
guy.
He's a man, though. He's a man. And she didn't say she was clearly better.
That's the two-facedness of it, okay, that people are particularly upset with her about.
Oh, okay. But I would say that it disqualifies that because she's a woman and she's saying ESPN has had a bad history of hiring women. So by being a minority at ESPN, she's speaking to, like, look at, I know how, she says even in it, look at, I know how hard it is being a woman and how bad their track record is with hiring people. So maybe ESPN's pissed that she said that. I don't know. Kendrick Perkins didn't have a problem with it, though. But poor Kendrick Perkins had to sit there talking about it, and you know he could have cared less. He would want to talk about anything else. Do you think he gives one rat's ass about the conversation Rachel Nichols had on the phone?
No.
But then they brought out Kendrick Perkins, and he just sit there and go like, yeah, I'm a black guy. I like Rachel Nichols, and I like Maria Taylor. And then, ugh. All right, well, you guys have educated me. I heard the Rachel Nichols thing, and I was like, wow, okay. I don't really know what she said that was wrong, but I thought everyone won in that situation. Now ESPN has two women covering professional sports, and that would be a good thing. Anywho, thank you, Hardy.
Thanks, Fred.
And Marshall, you're in...
I'll be with you tomorrow.
And you're in tomorrow. And Billy Lanny, you'll be here tomorrow. And Mike is here.
Nick?
Who cares?
And then you'll next see me somewhere around Christmas.
All right, stop bitching. They've heard you. All right, that'll do it for us. Whoever's in next, enjoy. Bye.
Tucker and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.